If you'd like to open your scriptures to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. How many of you read the Proverbs fairly often? Anybody? Got some? I want to encourage you to do this. I think I may have mentioned it a couple weeks ago. There are 31 Proverbs. If you read a proverb a day, in a month you can get through the Proverbs. And when I first got saved, somebody, and don't even remember who now, but when I first got saved, somebody shared with me to read a proverb a day, and the best way to keep up with where you're at is just look at the calendar. So if the calendar says 20 is the 28th, then you read Proverbs 28. If today's the 14th, then you read Proverbs 14. I did that for probably 2 years, every day for about 2 years, and I still read it often. I just love them. But all of a sudden, you find yourself beginning to think differently. You find yourself beginning to think as God would think. And we only know how God would think is when we are in His Word, right? Well, the beautiful things about Proverbs is it's about wisdom. A proverb is about wisdom. And in the Proverbs, we have Solomon. There's some others that have some Proverbs in there too. But we have a book of wisdom. The world thinks that the most important thing is power. Washington, D.C., you go up there, spend a little time, you'll find out that it's all about who's got the power. And it's the fight for power. If you think about it, then it's like, okay, power, strength, money. If I just had more money, I can get anything I want. If I had more money, I could be happy. And so we think money does it. But yet, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, outside of Jesus, of course, said that wisdom is more valuable than silver and gold. That there is nothing on this earth more valuable than wisdom. And the fact is, if you have wisdom, God can put you in places of power to use His power for the good. If you have wisdom, God can give you many ways of getting finances. If you have wisdom, God can lift you and promote you in moments and seasons when maybe it doesn't happen any other way. We tend to want to promote ourselves in this world. That's the reason TikTok and social media has gone absolutely wild, because you don't even have to really do anything. Just get on there and promote yourself. And if you do that, some of them shamefully, thank you. Which I just looked down, I saw a red banner, and I thought, okay, let me see. And it said, move your mic up a little. They take care of me up there. And see, now that I told you, they might as well just holler from up there, bud, move the mic. But they did it really nice and kindly. I just told. So what we're going to do is look into four things. How many of you like animals? Anybody like animals? Critters? Bugs? We're gonna find wisdom in some critters today. And I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. Four things on earth are small, yet they are, what is that word? They are what? Say it one more time so I can get a drink. They're extremely wise. Extremely wise. How many of you want to be extremely wise? Let me say this. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see as God sees. Wisdom, and I've shared it like this before. I take my grandkids, when they're little, set them up on my shoulders, And suddenly they've got a viewpoint that they don't have from down here, right? They see what Papaw sees. And so it's the same thing with God. It's like getting on the shoulders of God and seeing from his perspective. So we begin to see life differently. And that's what wisdom is, seeing life through the eyes of God. And some of you have learned how to grasp this wisdom, because every day you've got an opportunity to, in little things. We're getting ready to talk about ants. Every day in little things, you've got the opportunity to grasp wisdom. I always love it. I said that this morning. I always love it when Chris goes to the beach and comes back. Because when she comes back, she shares with us the wisdom that she has gotten from seashells and walking on the beach and all these different things. Because there's so much there. And so what I hope is going to happen today is this may jumpstart or may help some of you that maybe haven't gotten there to say, yeah, I want to start seeing life that way. And suddenly you're not even going to look at a deer the same. You're not going to look at a snake the same. You're not going to look at a lot of life the same. So, four things on earth. They're small, extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength. So now, you know what he's telling us? Strength is not what's important here. But he tells us what is. Yet they store up their food for the summer. Hyraxes, or we're going to call them rock badgers, are creatures of little power. Yet they make their home in the crags of rocks. Locusts have no king. Yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with a hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. I love this. Little things that we get pictures of that tell us a great amount about wisdom and how God sees life and wants us to see life. And so the very first one for my note takers, the first one is the wisdom of preparation. The wisdom of preparation in season. The wisdom of preparation in season. The ant goes during the summer and gathers up all of its food in season so that when the food season is not there, when the snow is on the ground and they can't get up there and get it, they're down there eating. Yet while many creatures and some grown-up adults are not getting to eat much because they didn't prepare for the season. Does that make sense? It's about preparation. Preparation is vital. How many of you prepared for marriage? And how many of you just got married? Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't say anything about it either. Preparation. What can you do to prepare? Well, you can go to premarital counseling. You can get to know each other. You can ask lots of questions. There are lots of things that you can do. Doesn't guarantee that it's all going to work out, but at least may get you a little bit of a head start. But you prepare. You prepare for getting your driver's license. Preparation is important. You prepare for meals. You have to prepare all the food, and then you cook it, and then you present it. It'd be terrible if you just went in and just dumped a bunch of stuff. Just knocked my glasses off. Dumped a bunch of stuff in a big bowl and heated it up and tried to eat it without doing anything to it. Preparation is important. The most important preparation. Let me ask you this. How many of you know the importance of margin in your life? You may know the importance of margin. You know what margin is. You get a piece of paper. You got those lines, and then there's a little room on the outside of the lines. That's margin. Just in case you need a little extra room. And maybe one of the best ways to kind of give an example of margin is if you have a 10 o'clock meeting. Well, let's just call it a 9 o'clock church service, or let's just call it a 10:30 church service. Or a 10 o'clock meeting, or anything. You've got a date, or you've got a time that you're supposed to be somewhere. and you live, let's say, a 10 o'clock meeting at work, and you live 30 minutes away from work, what time do you leave for the meeting? <laughs> 9:30? At best. Some of you are like, well, I don't like to walk in where everybody else is. I'll just wait to be a little bit later. And that can get you fired sometimes. I'm just saying. But there's no margin. Now, how many of you travel? How many of you travel I-26 to get to work? Oh, there's a few of you. If you're not counting in at least 30 minutes margin, because there's like 125 wrecks every day on 26, maybe exaggerated a little bit, but how many of you have been caught on 26 sitting forever? Yeah, and how many of you were cussing because you knew that you were going to be late? Yeah, I know. What would have helped? Margin. Create. How many of you have any margin in your finances? Or do you just, man, you run it from one edge all the way to the other, and there's nothing left over? Or you create margin to where you've got a little bit aside in case something happens. Does that make sense? Now, a lot of times we don't create margin in finances because we've got credit cards that help us not create margin. And so if I run out of money, then I just use my credit card. But one of the things that I don't think that they have taught a younger generation is that you actually have to pay those things off. Yeah. And the government's not always going to bail you out of everything. They'll tell you they will, but ultimately they can't, because it takes money to do it. Does this make sense? So you create margin. But more important than anything is that you are preparing for the coming of the Lord. That you prepare for the coming of the Lord. And I believe that it's soon. And I know that it's sooner than it was before. I know the coming of the Lord is sooner today than it was yesterday. Safe to say? And I know that it's sooner than it was. And next week it'll be sooner than today. You see what I'm saying? I don't know when. Like a thief in the night. We don't get a warning, but boom. And so Jesus tells this little parable when he's talking about being ready. And he said there was foolish virgins and there were some wise virgins. And they were to be getting ready for the bridegroom. And so they all had lamps, and the foolish virgins just had their lamps with what oil was in it. The wise virgins had oil in the lamp, but they also took extra because nobody knew how long it would be before the bridegroom came. But they wanted to be ready when he did. The five foolish virgins, it'll be all right. We'll be ready when time comes. And yet they all come together. They go to sleep, they wake up to the sound that the bridegroom is coming. And suddenly, the virgins that had the extra oil jump up, put the oil in their lamp, relight their lamp, and they're on their way. But the other virgins that were not prepared, their oil burned up through the night, and they had none. And so they look over at the ones who had prepared and they say, give us some of your oil. But the wise virgins say, you can't get any of our oil because we may need it all. We were prepared. We may need it all to get where we're going. go buy some oil. So these foolish virgins go off to the store and they get them some oil and they come back. But it's too late. So they come up to the door and they knock on the door and the bridegroom says, I don't even know who you are. And they don't go in. So simply, God is saying, prepare for my coming. Just be prepared. What do we have to do to be prepared? First thing is, we need to be born again. We need to have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believed in what he did on the cross, trust him to wash our sins away, put our faith in him, and be born again. That's the first thing. But another thing is, sometimes we procrastinate. How many of you know that procrastination and preparation are opposites? And some of us are really good at procrastinating. We all have great intentions and we really mean it and we really want to do it and we really plan on it. But we're going to do it tomorrow. I spent most of my life starting diets on Monday. It was the only day that I could do it. And then something always happened on Monday. No, my mindset was not, well, I'll start tomorrow. No, it was, I have to wait until next Monday. And you see what procrastination gets you. It's a matter of preparing ahead of time, creating margin in our life and where the Lord is concerned, being ready spiritually, not just having been saved, but be ready so that when we see him, we know him. We know who he is and we're thrilled about his coming because we've been walking with him. Does that make sense? Now I'm about to hurry on these others. The second one is the wisdom of abiding. The wisdom of abiding. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. The little rock badger. The wisdom in them is the fact that they know they were created to live in the rocks. And when they get away from the rocks, they become vulnerable to everything that wants to prey on them. And they have no protection. But when they're abiding where they were created to abide, in the rocks, it makes it really hard for the other critters to get them. Some of them can't climb the rocks. Even the birds climbing in can't get into the crags of the rocks where they are. It's all about the wisdom of abiding. Where are you abiding? And we were created to abide in Jesus, to dwell in him, to remain in him. And when we're remaining in him and we're abiding in him, we have protection. We're in that spot where you don't have to have strength. You don't have to have power because you've got wisdom. Does that make sense? And in all of these little critters, their strength, if you will have it like this, their wisdom is in what is how God created them. We've all been created for a purpose. We've all been created to do something, to worship him for first. But God has put that in his creation. He put it in his creation to be prepared. He put it in his creation to make sure that we are dwelling in him, the rock. Listen to this verse in Psalms. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He's saying the Lord is the rock and the Lord is the one. When I go to him, that rock is my fortress. That rock is where my protection is. That rock is where my provision is. And so God provides all that wisdom in that little rock badger. And the third one is pretty amazing in that it requires something that should be instinctual. Look at Look at the next one in the locusts. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. They have no earthly leader. They have no earthly dictator. They have nobody telling them what to do. Yet, have you ever seen a swarm of locusts? Have you ever watched one of those nature channels and you see a swarm of locusts? Do you know that locusts, when they swarm, they can block out the sun? I mean, it becomes literally dark. There are so many of them, they can block out the sun. And they can literally devastate acres and acres and miles of food, vegetation, when they go in. And they just, in moments, people are left without food because these locusts come through. And he said, there's some wisdom there. There's some wisdom that I want you to recognize, because the wisdom is in their unity. They're able to accomplish what they accomplish because they're unified, because they have unity. And when unity is present, there is absolutely nothing. And they can create fear. I mean, if you saw a swarm of locusts coming, what would that stir in you? It's like, ugh, dread. And I'm not saying that God wants us to unify so that we can cause the world to fear and dread. It's the devil and his demons and the kingdom of darkness that should fear us and that should dread to see us coming. But I'm afraid sometimes, and I'm not going to harp on this, but I'm afraid sometimes the enemy is not too afraid, because sometimes we can be so easily swayed from the essential because of unessentials. If you've been in church any amount of time, for some of you, you know, if you've been in church for years, you've been through those times when churches split over the color carpet or how much was spent on carpet or what kind of drapes were chosen, or, you know, stained glass window is, well, we wanted the cross and they wanted the sheep and Jesus, and we just really felt like the Lord was saying that the cross was the important one, and somebody else thought, well, no, the sheep and Jesus is the one, and so they end up going with one of them and the other people leave the church. Non-essentials. We fight over non-essentials. Social media has created a platform. And I don't want to just always harp on this, but but social media has created a platform for people who have no life, have no ministry. No church will have them because of their attitudes and the way they act and what they do. And so they just go create them a YouTube channel. And all they do is just sit there and criticize all these pastors out there. I mean, just criticize. Poor old Joel Osteen. I mean, if you go on, you don't have to look at anything. You see a picture of Joel crying. I mean, all of it, it's tons of them. And all of these pastors have an assignment, and we don't all have the same assignment. My assignment is not the same as his assignment. Ultimately, all of our purpose is to bring people into the kingdom. But we do it in different ways, right? And you've got those people out there that are constantly creating disunity by constantly being criticizing over and over people who do it differently. And what is the essential? And those are non-essentials. Speaking in tongues or not speaking in tongues. Essential or not essential. Not essential. I know believers who speak in tongues. I'm one of them. I know other believers who never have. They're just as saved as I am. Love the Lord just as much as I do. Non-essential. Can you lose your salvation or not lose your salvation? Non-essential. Just keep walking with the Lord. It don't matter. Right? If you just keep walking with the Lord, it don't matter. You know me, I believe in heavily in grace and the security of the believer, but I'm not going to break ways with somebody who doesn't believe that. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Or maybe not. But it's all going. Anyway, non-essential, non-essential. What is essential? Essential is that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, never sinned, went to a cross, took on his sinless self the sin of the entire world, died on a cross, went and took the keys of death and hell away from the enemy. 3 days later, broke out of the tomb, living and alive. That is the essential. And every person that will put their faith in Jesus Christ can be saved. That's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to heaven. Those other things are unessential. They're not going to keep you in. They're not going to keep you out. Only way is to come through Jesus and to put your faith in him. And that's what I was talking about in preparation. Unity. Can you imagine if the body of Christ or if the church, can you imagine if we came together in 1 year? I'm talking about the entire. See, here's what I love. I've been in many, many churches over the years. And where disunity is, man, I'm telling you, you can feel it. It's ugly. There's a spirit. There's a spirit there. And there's a spirit that stirs gossip, and there's a spirit that stirs criticism, and there's a spirit that stirs hate, and there's a spirit there. And the thing that I love about Harvest is I never feel that spirit here. You love people. I love that. You embrace people and accept people. I love that. And we don't fight over non-essentials. And the ones who insist on fighting about non-essentials, and it's one of the reasons that we can maintain unity, is that they're no longer here. I mean, you just can't stay in a church like Harvest. If you have to have it this way, it just, there are churches that will join with you and fight for your thing. But we're not it. And that's why you can come in here and you can be welcome. That's why you can come in here with varying ideas and thoughts and just sit in the presence of the Word and learn and let God teach us all. But if the whole body of Christ were to become in unity, can you imagine the terror that we could cause in the kingdom of darkness? If the whole body of Christ became unified, even for 1 year, can you imagine the fear that would be created in the kingdom of darkness? Here they come. They're like a swarm of locusts. They're taking everything in their path. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let me do the last one. The last one. I love this. I love this little critter right here. A lizard. Now, I, in my mind, in my imagination, have created superheroes in all these. So we got Ant-Man. And we got Rock Badger Man. And got Locust Man. But my favorite out of them is Lizard Man. Lizard Man. A lizard can be caught with a hand. What's it saying? They're not powerful. They're not strong. They're fairly quick, but if you're quicker than they are, you can catch one. Yet, it is found in king's palaces. That is amazing to me. That little critter dwells in king's palaces because it has a superpower. And its superpower is on its hands and feet, or its feet, I don't know. If they're all feet, or I don't know if they got, I don't know. On those things that they walk on. Its superpower is suction pads. The suction pads make that little lizard able to go where other critters can't go. It'll just, if you ever seen them just run right up the side of a rock, run right up the side of a building. How do they do that? Those little suction pads. Do you know what your suction pads are? Do you know what your superpower is? It's faith. God has given you faith. And then he says, with that faith I give you, then you can do a lot with it. You can grow it. And the more intimate we become with the Lord, the greater our faith becomes. The more we're able to believe. It's faith. We scale. Oh, I mean, how is it just leap over buildings with a single bound? And I've got to see my grandkids. Deal with my grandkids. They all these new superheroes now, and so I'm learning the new stuff. Okay, I'm learning the new stuff. Faith is your superpower. Faith is how you get to king's palaces. Faith is how you get there. One of the greatest lizard men of all times. He looked like a normal guy, but he was a lizard man. Was Joseph. Joseph, hated by his brothers, was taken and thrown into a pit. Left to die by some, and then it's like, oh, okay, we can sell him. So they sell him off to some travelers that take him now into town where the lizard man is still headed to the palace. In his mind, in his heart, his faith is taking him to the palace. He's not going to settle for the pit. But while he's on his way to the palace, a lady gets her eyes on him. And he runs. How many of you remember? I remember as a kid being terrified, literally terrified, the first time I caught one of those little lizards and his tail popped off. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever caught one of those? His tail pops off. I mean, they will give up a lot to get to the palace. My mom and dad assured me, I don't worry about it. God made them to grow another tail. It'll grow back. And you know what I discovered is that everything that we give up for the Lord to get to the palace, he gives it back. He gives it back and even better. He gives it back and even better. This little lizard is on his way to the palace. Joseph, the lizard man, is on his way to the palace. But this woman gets her eyes on him and wants to do the wild thing with him. And so she grabs him. But he breaks his tail off. She grabs his coat and he just lets the coat go and he keeps on running. That's what lizards do. Are you with me? That coat, that was his tail. That was a tail that broke off. But it landed him in prison. And it's like, but I want to go to the palace. I didn't want the pit. I didn't want the prison. I want the palace. But he never gave up because those little faith suction cups on the bottom of his limbs kept him going. There is no quitting. It's a stick-to-itiveness. It's a faith that sticks to it no matter what. No matter what I see, because I don't walk by what I see. I live by faith, right? I walk by faith, not by sight. So I'm going to keep believing. I may not see it now, but I'm going to keep believing. Maybe all I see right now is a pit, but I'm still believing for the palace. Maybe all I see right now is a prison, but I'm believing for the palace. And he never gives up. And Joseph ends up in the king's palace, the second-hand man to the king. He got there. Why?
In his mind, he never saw anything but the palace, and his faith kept him moving no matter how bad things got, no matter how bad things looked. His faith kept moving him there. That's wisdom, gang. That's the wisdom that's found in creatures. If God can give us that much wisdom in four little critters, can you imagine the vastness of the wisdom that he has for his children? He just needs us to be available and to hear and to listen. You may say, "But I don't have any wisdom." If you've been born again, you have been given the mind of Christ. If you've been born again, you have a genius and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So it's not that you don't have it. It's maybe that you don't know how to access it. And James said, well, if you're going through something and you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally. Ask him. Ask him for wisdom. And then learn to walk in it by the little things. Learn to walk in wisdom by the little things that happen every day. It is fascinating. And you just have to use your imagination. How many of you used to have an imagination, but you don't anymore? Can't life just knock your imagination out? I've always had a vibrant, colorful imagination. It's what gets me through sometimes. And I think God created us that way. And I think what happens is that God can take that imagination and show us natural things in this world, but give us spiritual principles and wisdom from the natural world. Does that make sense? And we just saw it, didn't we? We just saw it. So I'm going to ask a question this morning. Couple, are you prepared for the Lord's coming? If the Lord were to come today, would you be one of those saying, I meant to, I planned to, I was going to trust you, Jesus. I was going to accept you as my Savior, Jesus. I had every intention. I had every plan to. There's a few things I wanted to do first, but I had every intention I ever planned, all the plans in the world to do it. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am preaching the scripture. That's what I'm called to do. I have to. So the question would be, are you prepared by having received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then are you walking with him? And only you can answer it. And if you're not prepared, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you today just to break through, to say no more procrastination, no more waiting. I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior this morning. I'm going to ask you that in just a minute. For others, let me ask you this. Are you abiding in the Lord? When we abide in the Lord, that's part of our preparation. And in abiding in him, do you remember what Jesus said? I've said this a couple of weeks. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it's yours. It's a bold statement. So there's something powerful about abiding, because it puts us in his mindset. It makes us think like him. And sometimes we fail to prepare because we're not eating. We're not gathering the word like the ant into our heart during season. And then suddenly cancer comes, or the bad news comes, or we hear something terrible, and just we have nothing. We saw it with COVID. Churches filled with people, but COVID comes And then what happens? And I know some had good reason, but many, there had been no preparation of the word in their heart. There had been no abiding. And so now church was gone, and who cares? It just gave me more time to do other things. So the Lord wants us prepared. He wants us walking in unity, and He wants us faithfully committed to the King's palace. In every decision we make, we need to ask this question. Not, is it sinful, but is it wise? Sometimes we try to get right on the edge. Okay, what's sin and what's not sin? Is kissing sin? Is touching sin? Is petting sin? Is him touching this or her touching that sin? No. That's the wrong question. The question is it wise? Is it wise? If you're married, is it wise to flirt with another married person or anybody? Is it wise? It may feel good. It may make you feel like a man again. It may make you feel like a woman again. But the question is it wise? This is not for condemnation purposes. Not at all. I promise you, I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. What I am saying is there's a better way. And so we ask the question, not is it sin, but is it wise? Is it wise for me to go to that place? Is it wise for me who my body has been wrecked by alcohol and my liver is about gone? And is it wise for me to go sit in a bar? Or would it be preferably for me to go sit in church and have God's people praying miracles over me? Does that make sense? Is it wise? So the question today is, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about right now, just ask Him, is it wise? God, give me wisdom and give me the strength to walk away from what I need to walk away from. And give me strength to let my tail break off if I need to, so that I can get to the palace. Every head bowed for a moment. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, would you raise your hand right now if you want to say, today, bud, today I want to be saved. Today I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. You can do it right where you're at. God bless you. Anybody else? Today I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Raise it up high, really quick, and then back down. All over the house. There's 5, 6 people in the house. So church, what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate with them in just a minute, but we're going to pray with them. So for all of you that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And if that prayer is sincere from your heart, even though I'm helping you with the words, pray this prayer with me. And if you do that and you put your faith in Jesus, you will leave here today a child of God, ready for the coming of the Lord, and in a brand new relationship that will change you forever. So let's all pray. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, everybody, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And You are a Savior who came to save sinners. So right now, I present myself to You. Please wash my sin. And I turn to You, and by faith, I receive You as my Lord and my Savior in this moment. And right now, I thank You for saving me. I am a child of God in the family of God, in Jesus' name. Let's stand and celebrate with all of our new family members today, those who are into the kingdom of God, and let's sing.